Section 1. Listening. This section of the test has three parts. You will hear three recordings which you will listen to twice. While listening, answer the questions in the appropriate part of the test. Follow the instructions. When answering questions in the first and second part, use the answer sheet labelled with a cross. When answering questions in the third part, use the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now prepare the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Part 1. You will hear a popular British writer, Anne Fine, talking about her life, childhood, studies, and her family. For statements 1 to 7, choose the correct answer A, B, C, or D. There is always only one correct answer. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part one.
When I was young, it never occurred to me that I might be a writer. I most probably thought that books were born on library shelves. But I was good at writing stories and had a good deal of practice. My primary school teacher came in every Monday morning in the worst of moods. Then he'd turn and write three titles on the board. A Day in the Life of a Lost Umbrella, My Best Friend, The Worst Advice I Ever Took, anything like that. I loved those double lessons more than anything in the world, except for reading. No endless discussions, no sharing of ideas. I wrote fast, and I learned to judge the form and the length of a story. It was the best training I could have had, though I didn't know I'd be a writer. At secondary school, I enjoyed languages most and took French and Spanish, along with history, for A-levels. That meant there was no room for English, and so for my whole life I have been able simply to read what I want, when I want, and only for pleasure or interest. Later on, I studied politics and history at university, and the interest in political issues which developed there shows up in many of my books. After university, I taught in a girls' secondary school for a year, exhausting, and then moved with my husband to Oxford, where I worked as an information officer for Oxfam. Though I was working in this job only for 2 years, working for charity and helping people in poor countries changed my attitudes to money and to what is truly important in life. In 1971, my first daughter was born. unable to get to the library in a snowstorm to change my library books. In desperation, I sat down and started to write a novel. Clearly, this was the right job for me, for I have never stopped writing for more than a few weeks since. My husband's job took us to California, Arizona, Michigan, and Canada, where our second daughter was born. In 1981, I returned to Edinburgh, and a few years later moved to Durham, where I now live quietly in a stone house beside a river with Richard, my partner of 15 years. The list of books has grown longer and longer, and whether writing for children or adults, I still work with a pencil and rubber in absolute silence, as if I was that primary school kid.
Now listen again.
When I was young, it never occurred to me that I might be a writer. I most probably thought that books were born on library shelves, but I was good at writing stories and had a good deal of practice. My primary school teacher came in every Monday morning in the worst of moods. Then he'd turn and write three titles on the board: A Day in the Life of a Lost Umbrella, My Best Friend, The Worst Advice I Ever Took, anything like that. I loved those double lessons more than anything in the world, except for reading. No endless discussions, no sharing of ideas. I wrote fast, and I learned to judge the form and the length of a story. It was the best training I could have had, though I didn't know I'd be a writer. At secondary school, I enjoyed languages most and took French and Spanish, along with history, for A-levels. That meant there was no room for English, and so for my whole life, I have been able simply to read what I want, when I want, and only for pleasure or interest. Later on, I studied politics and history at university, and the interest in political issues which developed there shows up in many of my books. After university, I taught in a girls' secondary school for a year, exhausting, and then moved with my husband to Oxford, where I worked as an information officer for Oxfam. Though I was working in this job only for 2 years, working for charity and helping people in poor countries changed my attitudes to money and to what is truly important in life. In 1971, my first daughter was born. Unable to get to the library in a snowstorm to change my library books, in desperation I sat down and started to write a novel. Clearly, this was the right job for me, for I have never stopped writing for more than a few weeks since. My husband's job took us to California, Arizona, Michigan, and Canada, where our second daughter was born. In 1981, I returned to Edinburgh, and a few years later moved to Durham, where I now live quietly in a stone house beside a river with Richard, my partner of 15 years. The list of books has grown longer and longer, and whether writing for children or adults, I still work with a pencil and rubber in absolute silence, as if I was that primary school kid.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Part 2. You will hear an interview with Brendan McLaughlin, who set up the Fubra Group. For questions 8 to 13, decide whether the statements are true, A, false, B, or whether the information was not given, C. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part two.
What is the Fubra Group?
We're an e-business solutions provider. We help businesses use the internet to improve their efficiency. Our most recent success story is a mail order business whose profits increased by 50% after our help.
How did you start your business?
We borrowed money from my dad and used money I'd earned from building computers in the sixth form to buy computers, software and a networking unit. Our office was my old bedroom, and we negotiated arrangements with other businesses to keep us going. For example, we arranged a deal with a local sandwich shop for lunch.
Have you ever had any problems with the internet?
When we moved, our internet connection didn't work for 4 months, which could have ruined us. But we had saved enough money to support us for several months. We learnt not to rely on anyone else's help. You see, without a fast, reliable internet connection, we would have been lost.
How did you know you could trust each other?
We respect each other. We work well as a unit because each of us is an expert in different skills.
How old are you all?
We're 19 and 20 now, and we were 18 and 19 when we started.
How do you help companies to improve their performance?
We do a lot of market research to help our clients. We identify problems and then make a lot of big changes, bringing innovative new products or services.
Who do you talk to for advice?
We talk to each other, the advisory people on our company board, and, more recently, BusinessLink, as they can help with sales and marketing. Plus, we spent £250 on books, and we've learnt to do things ourselves anyway. Now listen again.
What is the Fubra Group?
We're an e-business solutions provider. We help businesses use the internet to improve their efficiency. Our most recent success story is a mail order business whose profits increased by 50% after our help.
How did you start your business?
We borrowed money from my dad and used money I'd earned from building computers in the sixth form to buy computers, software and a networking unit. Our office was my old bedroom, and we negotiated arrangements with other businesses to keep us going. For example, we arranged a deal with a local sandwich shop for lunch.
Have you ever had any problems with the internet?
When we moved, our internet connection didn't work for 4 months, which could have ruined us. But we had saved enough money to support us for several months. We learnt not to rely on anyone else's help. You see, without a fast, reliable internet connection, we would have been lost.
How did you know you could trust each other?
We respect each other. We work well as a unit because each of us is an expert in different skills.
How old are you all?
We're 19 and 20 now, and we were 18 and 19 when we started.
How do you help companies to improve their performance?
We do a lot of market research to help our clients. We identify problems and then make a lot of big changes, bringing innovative new products or services.
Who do you talk to for advice?
We talk to each other, the advisory people on our company board, and, more recently, BusinessLink, as they can help with sales and marketing. Plus, we spent £250 on books, and we've learnt to do things ourselves anyway. Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Now look at part three. For part three, you will need the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Please find and prepare it. Part three. Four British people are going to answer a couple of questions about their lifestyle and things or places they like. You will hear Jennifer, a popular British actress, George, a radio DJ, Sarah, a TV presenter, and Lynn, a businesswoman. Listen carefully to their answers and then match the statements 14 to 20 to one of the speakers. Write J for Jennifer, G for George, S for Sarah, and L for Lynn. Write your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part three.
Hello, Jennifer. Would you mind answering a few questions? You are a popular actress and our listeners would like to know something about your life.
Okay, why not?
What do you miss most about Britain when you're away?
Our accents. When I was in the US at the start of the year, I was desperate to hear a British accent. I kept watching as time goes by so that I could listen to the accents.
Favourite British city?
London. Oh, the Scots will hate me because my roots are there, but I love London. The transport system, the black cats, the architecture, and the fact that you can walk everywhere and it's really green, and it is really multicultural.
Our second guest is George, a radio DJ. George, what do you miss most about Britain when you're away?
London. Although I love Wales, London's where I've chosen to live. There's always something going on. And I also think people in London are least prejudiced. Simply, you can see all races and nationalities coexisting here.
What's the most British thing you've ever done?
I went to Stonehenge years ago, and surprisingly, I felt like I was in the States because of all the American accents.
Now it's time for our third guest, Sarah, a TV presenter. Sarah, what do you miss most about Britain when you're away?
The food. I'm vegetarian, and in other parts of the world the food is meaty, so I miss the variety we have.
Favourite British city? Or a favourite place in Britain?
Durham. It's got a lovely mix of all the things that are good about Britain. I got married there, and it was beautiful. But for a picnic, I would definitely choose the Lake District. I went there for holiday as a kid. It was gorgeous.
Well, our last guest is Lynn, a successful businesswoman. Lynn, what do you miss most about Britain when you're away?
I actually miss the rain, sometimes. I like our four seasons. And I know it may sound a bit funny, but I really miss the royal family. You see, I'm a complete royalist. I support the monarchy.
What's the most British thing you've ever done?
Last weekend, me and Jack went to the Tower of London. I learned all about its history.
Now listen again.
Hello, Jennifer. Would you mind answering a few questions? You are a popular actress and our listeners would like to know something about your life.
OK, why not?
What do you miss most about Britain when you're away?
Our accents. When I was in the US at the start of the year, I was desperate to hear a British accent. I kept watching as time goes by so that I could listen to the accents.
Favourite British city?
London. Oh, the Scots will hate me because my roots are there, but I love London. The transport system, the black cats, the architecture, and the fact that you can walk everywhere and it's really green, and it is really multicultural.
Our second guest is George, a radio DJ. George, what do you miss most about Britain when you're away?
London. Although I love Wales, London's where I've chosen to live. There's always something going on. And I also think people in London are least prejudiced. Simply, you can see all races and nationalities coexisting here.
What's the most British thing you've ever done?
I went to Stonehenge years ago, and surprisingly, I felt like I was in the States because of all the American accents.
Now it's time for our third guest, Sarah, a TV presenter. Sarah, what do you miss most about Britain when you're away?
The food. I'm vegetarian, and in other parts of the world the food is meaty, so I miss the variety we have.
Favourite British city? Or a favourite place in Britain?
Durham. It's got a lovely mix of all the things that are good about Britain. I got married there, and it was beautiful. But for a picnic, I would definitely choose the Lake District. I went there for holiday as a kid. It was gorgeous.
Well, our last guest is Lynn, a successful businesswoman. Lynn, what do you miss most about Britain when you're away?
I actually miss the rain, sometimes. I like our four seasons. And I know it may sound a bit funny, but I really miss the royal family. You see, I'm a complete royalist. I support the monarchy.
What's the most British thing you've ever done?
Last weekend, me and Jack went to the Tower of London. I learned all about its history.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. The listening section is now over. Please stop working on this section. Now go on to the next sections of the test.